Amen. We open our Bibles this morning to this evening to. Let's just have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach Thy Word tonight, believing, O God, that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, knowing the events that surrounded Your Son at the time of His crucifixion, it was a time of many tribulations, so to speak, for the Christians at that time. They went into hiding. Many things took place in the atmosphere. The government that was in control, which was Rome, sought off after the people. And Lord, we realize that there was a crucifixion took place, and yet willingly by Your Son, willingly by the enemy, but misunderstood by Your children. So we ask You tonight to be with us and help us to have a better understanding of what all of this is about. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Let me just check something here on the... Doesn't sound like we're picking up too much sound, so I need to adjust, make an adjustment. We had a power outage the other day. Okay. Alrighty, well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. On Good Friday of April 12th, 1963, Brother Branham preached a message called The World Falling Apart. And not knowing that he did, until actually I come across a quote when I had finished the sermon for tonight, I thought it was interesting that he preached that message and he talked about the world falling apart, not only the weather and all that kind of stuff, but he talked about denominations, he talked about governments, he talked about everything, all the systems. Well, not knowing that the Lord had placed the same thought on his mind. Yeah, I'll get to that in just a minute. I'd like to take what Brother Brown had to say in what the Holy Ghost is given for. We're going to pick up at paragraph 84 again, which we spoke on last Sunday, where we talked on the sixth seal and are escaping from it. In other words, what the Holy Ghost is given for is so that you can escape the sixth seal. Well, I'd like to tie the sixth seal and the book of Joel together tonight. Now, last Sunday, we spoke mainly from paragraph 84 of Brother Bram's sermon, what the Holy Ghost is given for, where Brother Bram said, the moon and the stars is gone, and the earth has wept itself into the mountains and the deserts, and everything is no more, and the world's a toddling like a drunk man coming home at night, and the stars refuse to shine and fall from the heavens, and the moon turns into blood, and the sun blushes and hides its face. When they see the Son of Man coming, you'll shine in the righteousness of Jesus Christ to come forth from the grave as a young, beautiful woman to take your mate and live forever and forever and ever. In all eternal ages, still you'll still be living. That's what the Holy Ghost was given for. If you feel the least tug, don't turn it down or don't turn it away. What is the Holy Ghost? God in you. What is it for? To continue His work among His people, to bring His church together, to bring a church to a place in this day, far beyond the Lutheran, Methodist, and Pentecostal, into a place to an adoption and a rapturing grace. That when this part of the church, when the Spirit moves into this church, it'll just raise. And it'll bring forth all of the redeemed that's touched that Spirit. Those Lutherans who stood there with all the light that they had in justification, those Methodists who fell on the floor and they throwed water in their face from the Spirit, striking them through sanctification. Those Pentecostals that they walked up and down the streets and they just called them tongues demons and jabbers and goose language and all that. They'll stand in the righteousness in the sight of God at that day, just as certain as this Bible stands here. Now, we showed how all of these things he mentions are part of the sixth seal. And in our study of the sixth seal, we found that we have a promise that we will not be here to partake in those events. They are six sealed judgments, and the bride of Christ will be gone at that time. And the whole church says, amen. Then when we see these things beginning to form, like we're seeing the shadow of them right now, and we look around and the entire world, the entire church world is focusing on these events, it ought to let us know how late an hour that we're in. Most of the church believe the church will go through the tribulation, and the sixth seal are tribulation judgments, but the bride will not go through tribulation. Now, I believe somehow that we may be here when the great earthquake hits California. But whether we are in this dimension or having passed into the time of the resurrection, in other words, sealed in like they were sealed in Goshen, the plagues of Egypt did not touch the children of Israel in Goshen. They had the blood applied to each home. We may be sealed in at the time of the resurrection, where we may be in a state where we can see this dimension, yet we cannot be harmed by the things that are taking place in this dimension. I do not know. And I do not pretend that I completely understand all of it, because I don't. All I know is what a vindicated prophet of God has told us. And he said we will not be here for those events mentioned when the sixth seal judgments hit. Now, the events will take place are as follows. First of all, when the sixth seal manifests, the very things will be a great earthquake, the very first, Revelation 6 and 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Then the second event will be the darkening of the sun like sackcloth. Now, I do not believe for one second that the solar eclipse that we saw last week is this what you're speaking of here, because if it was, then we're in the sixth seal. Then we didn't make a rapture. No, I believe it's a foreshadow because, first of all, there was still a light ring around it. I've looked at all the pictures online, dozens of them. It was not completely black. There was a ring of light around it. But this word sackcloth speaks of grief, because everywhere in Scripture, when they wore sackcloth, it was worn for a period of grieving. And it was associated with ashes, sackcloth and ashes. And so the son will be in a state of grieving. Now, Matthew 11:21, Jesus says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." Now, there's many, many scriptures. I'm just giving you a few to illustrate. In Joel 1:13, we read, "Gird yourselves and lament, you priests. Howl, you ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God." Now, I had no clue where we were going to go with this sermon tonight when I began to study these thoughts of Brother Branham's from paragraph 84 and 85. But when I came to Joel and I began to study Joel, I realized the sixth seal and Joel are interlocked. Many of the prophecies of the sixth seal are actually found in the book of Joel. And we see this right here. Now, we know that the book of Joel speaks much about the end time, and we cannot really understand the end time events without understanding the book of Joel. Many of the end time prophecies that Brother Branham spoke of come from the book of Joel, and we see in all three chapters of the book of Joel. In Joel chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, we read, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion," and Brother Branham lets us know. Notice how the book of Joel starts out. He says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion." And Brother Brown said, wherever you read the word Zion in the Bible, it refers to the bride. From a sermon feature home, Brother Brown reads from Isaiah 4 and 2, "In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious." And then remember, Jesus said in John 15 and 1, "I am the vine and you are the branches." So the branch, he's talking about us. "In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, wherein the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion." And remember, that's always the bride. See, that's his words in blue. The red, of course, is Scripture that he's reading. Now back to Joel. "And sound an alarm in the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh." In other words, it's finally arrived. "For it is nigh at hand." It's right around the corner, and it will be earmarked. Notice, it'll be earmarked as follows. It'll be a day of darkness and a day of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall there ever be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palm worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Now you've all heard Brother Branham many, many times quote from these scriptures. Concerning this, because this was his ministry to restore. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep. Notice the cry to awake, just exactly like that of the foolish virgins. And howl, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. Now notice the new wine will be cut off. And Jesus speaks of the new wine as being filled with the Holy Ghost and teaches how the man must have a sanctified life to receive it. In Mark 2 and 22, he says, and no man putteth new wine into old bottles. Remember, new wine represents the Holy Spirit. Else the new wine doth burst the bottle, and the wine is filled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles. There's got to be a changed life. We know in the book of Acts that men thought the pouring out of the Holy Ghost was what actually men who were drunk with new wine. But the Apostle Peter spoke to them and told them it was actually the pouring out of the Holy Ghost as foretold by Joel the prophet. And so we read in Acts 2:13, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye of, that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass, notice, before that great and notable day come. So we've got to have some signs before the great and notable day. Right? And that's, he says, the moon turning to blood. So we have our blood moons before the great and notable day. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you ready to call? I am. Now notice so much from the book of Joel here. Now, let's go back to the book of Joel and we're going to pick up at verse 6. Joel 1 and 6. For a nation is come upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion. And he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste. Remember, he's the vine, we are the branches. But the branches are part of the vine, the church. And he has barked my fig tree. That's Israel. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away, and the branches thereof are made white. Now the fig tree represents Israel, and this nation, which is represented here as having teeth like a lion. Notice it is not a lion. Just like the one that went forth with the bow, but no arrows, was a bluff. Right? This one, he has teeth like a lion. Teeth like a lion. So it appears from looking at its mouthpiece that he has teeth like a lion, and that it is a lion, but it's not a lion. And it comes against Israel to strip her of everything, of her fruits. Now we read in the book of Revelation 13:1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. Now, this is the same beast spoken of in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. In Revelation 13 and 1, it speaks of this one. Notice he comes out of the sea. That's not the same one later on in Revelation that comes out of the land. Rises up from the land. Okay, Revelation 17 and 18, we find it is a city that rules over the kings of the earth. And the city sits on 7 mountains. Now, the only nation city is the Vatican City, which is a city state. It is a separate nation altogether, and it is ruled by the Pope. So you can bet all this trying to split Israel in two is her doing. Because you can see that every president of the free world has kissed the ring or bowed to the Pope or knelt in submission to him. And I just have six, two sets of three. President Bush bowing to the Pope. The Mexican president, Vincent Fox, bows to the Pope. Prime Minister Tony Blair bowing to the Pope. Queen Elizabeth bowing to the Pope. Belgium King Albert bows to the Pope. And President Obama bows to the Pope. Now, there's all kinds of others. I just didn't want to take up a whole two or three pages of pictures. But all these little kings, you know, and their kingdoms, like, all over. They're either themselves bowing to the Pope or their wives are on their knees kissing his ring. Revelation 17, 1 to 2. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy. Now notice the Pope there in two pictures here and here. He's got his scarlet color up. That's because he's not only Pope, but he's also a cardinal. And the cardinal color is red. Now, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a cup of gold, a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou wonder or marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, I don't know if I have, I don't have Revelation chapter 18 here. But in 18, basically, the first few verses tells you that when she meets her doom, when she is destroyed by an atomic bomb by Russia, it says that the kings of the earth will lament, and the businessmen or the rich owners, they'll really cry out as well, because they've been made rich by all her delicacies, gold and silver and pearls, and it goes on a whole long list. And then it says, and the blood of martyrs and the souls of men. So they've been into selling souls and selling people. Now back to Joel 1 and 8. Lament like a virgin, that's foolish virgin, girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. What's the house of the Lord? It's the churches. The priests and the Lord's ministers, they mourn. So you're looking at Joel 1 and 8, sixth seal. You're looking at the church is shut down. The meat offering, the spiritual food in due season, is no longer available. It's gone. You see, the five foolish virgins are girded with sackcloth because the meat in due season is no longer. It has been cut off from the people. She went out to meet him, but realized she was not ready, and the door was shut. Verse 10, the field is wasted. No more mission fields. It's over. The land mourneth, for the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. That's the Holy Ghost. It's gone. No more pouring out of the Holy Spirit. The oil represents the Spirit. It languishes. What does that mean? It's just dribbled here, dribbled there. It's gone. Be ye ashamed. And I would say any minister that's left at that time should be ashamed. And any people that are left should be ashamed. Should be ashamed for, number one, listening to any minister that would not get them ready for going home. This is not a social club. And I love you people with all my heart. I'm not here to rebuke anybody tonight, because I'd be the first one that needs rebuking. We're not here for social reasons. We're here to get ready for going home. We are at the end time. We're coming to the time very soon when the last sermon will be preached, the last song will be sung. It's time to really just get down to business. Be you ashamed, O you husbandman. What's a husbandman? Someone who what? Who dresses the vine, right? O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. 2 million people followed Moses out of Israel, or out of Egypt. Two of the originals entered in. 2 million people, when Sister Vale passed away back in what, 2001, was it? Around then, 2001? Long time ago, a dozen more years ago. When she passed away, Brother Peregrine asked if he could speak, and he mentioned that at that time there was over 2 million people following the message, just like in the days of Moses. The first Exodus and the last Exodus have repeated. How many people entered in? 2 out of the original, and those who were under 20 at the time of Kadesh Barnea. Fortunately for all of us in here, that puts us in a good position, because Kadesh Barnea in this country was 1956. So if you're 20 years old at the time of 1956, well, we don't have to worry about that. There's none of us here. I think I was 3. Anyway, harvest is over. He said, the harvest of the field is perished. The harvest is over. The gleaning has been very little, 1 in a million. And there will be nothing left but shame and scorn for the ministers who do not make it. They are the husbandry men. They are the vine dressers. And it says, be ashamed because the harvest of the field is perished. In other words, you didn't prepare the people. And the harvest came and they were left. What a rebuke. The vine is dried up. The fig tree languishes. That's Israel. She's struggling. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, and all, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Now, trees represent men. I don't have time that we could preach a whole sermon on that tonight. Show you where trees are men. Just go to Psalm chapter 1, and it says the righteous man is like a tree that's, you know, that planted by the rivers of water. Anyway, and the many different types of trees represents the many kinds of men, and they have all withered, which means their seeds have run out. In fact, he says, gird yourselves and lament, ye priests, how ye ministers of the altar, come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. No more revelation. No more spiritual food in due season. The Holy Spirit has left the earth, and there is no more spiritual food in due season. It's over. And the last sermon has been preached. The last song has been sung. He says, sanctify you a fast, call a solemn assembly. So what's it mean, solemn? Not Solomon. Solemn. Very sad. Very sad assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Notice, alas, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. It's not going to be a time of peace, peace. The Bible says this, they shall say peace, peace, and then sudden destruction cometh. I think they think that they've just entered into a peace accord with Iran. They think they've settled all the problems because Iran has agreed to some type of agreement. And they're going to work things out over the next 3 months. And you watch. This president, he's such a deceiver. And he will push and push and push and say, what a great thing. We've finally got peace. Peace, peace. Well, then sudden destruction comes. The time of the Lord. Look, it could be this spring. We've just entered into spring. It could be this summer. We don't know. Just be ready. The Holy Spirit has left the earth. There's no more spiritual food in due season. It's over. The last sermon has been preached. The last song has been sung. Gather together to weep and fast, but it will not do you any good because it is too late. He that's filthy is filthy still, and he that's righteous is righteous still. The rapture has passed, and there's only the judgments that are left. Mercy has been spurned, and there's nothing left but judgment. Is not the meat cut off before our eyes? Not only is it withholden, it's cut off. Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. No more joy. You won't be coming to church. If you're left behind, you won't be coming to church for joy. You'll be coming to weep your heart out before God. I think it's time to weep our hearts out before God now, before it's too late. When the people who are left behind realize they didn't make it, there shall be no more joy the rest of their days. All that is left is rotten seed. The seed is rotten, it says, verse 17, under their clods. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. That's the harvest. It's withered. It's all over at this point. Verse 18, how do the beasts groan? The herds of the cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture, no place to feed anymore. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. Now the word desolate was translated from the Hebrew word ashem. It's pronounced ashem. And it means guilty and fit for punishment. The flocks of the sheep are guilty and fit for punishment. Having no pastures, no pastors, because they are left alone with their pastors, which they realize led them wrong. They will scatter knowing they missed it because they allowed that guy to deceive them. Their ministries will be over. O Lord, to thee will I cry. For the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of water are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. What a time it will be when the people realize that they're lost, and that they will have, and that they've been left behind, rejected by God, because they had not made him the center of their universe. Chapter 2. I wonder if Joel was a happy guy. Doesn't sound like it. How can you be when you see these things coming? I was reading tonight, Brother Branham said, Isaiah saw the sixth seal. Many of these prophets saw the sixth seal. And many of them, they called them the weeping prophets, because they saw what was coming. And Brother Ram told Billy Paul, if I told you what's coming, what the angel revealed to me, you'll never sleep again the rest of your life. He said, I can't tell it to the people. They couldn't handle it. A day of darkness and of gloominess. A day of clouds and of thick darkness. You know, this is very fitting because this is Good Friday. Like Brother Ram said, the world falling apart. He said, this is a kind of a different sermon I'm going to preach on Good Friday. But he said, I don't even know why they call it Good Friday or God's Good Friday. It's only good for you and I guess, because he paid the entire price for us. But it was a day of darkness and gloominess for him. A day of clouds and of thick darkness, he says. And as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be in any more after it, even to the years of many generations. The fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them nothing but a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Here's a horde, an army, a horde of men coming like locusts, coming to places that things were prospering, and they leave nothing behind but desolation. In other words, like the curse of Deuteronomy 28, the enemy comes into a beautiful land and lays it desolate, ruined, and nothing to build upon. Like this nation has done with Libya and Egypt and Yemen and Syria and Jordan and Iraq. Iraq was a very prosperous place until we went to war with them. The Christians had liberty. The Christians could have church worship. They could have picnics. They could do things and not have to worry about being bombed or being burned or being beheaded. Because there was this ruthless tyrant called Saddam Hussein who thought himself to be Nebuchadnezzar. But he had a good attitude toward the Christian. He didn't fear them. Because normally Christians, not except the Catholic Church, because they're run, it's not really Catholic, it's a Christian, it's a organization, a business organization. I mean, that's really what they are. It's a cult. And they're not the people in them. I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the hierarchy, the popes, and those men who have gone to wars over the ages to kill Protestants, kill Jews, kill Muslims. They didn't care. Kill anybody that disagreed with them. Now, under the dictators of those countries like Libya, where Gaddafi took the oil revenues and gave them back to the people, every couple, when they got married, was given $10,000 to get started with. Plus, they were given a new home. These are evil men, we say in our press. The Christians flourished under Saddam Hussein, and the Jews and Christians lived peaceably in Yemen and in Egypt. But look at the destruction this administration is leaving behind in those places, propping up the Muslim Brotherhood and killing off the Christians. The persecution has begun. Don't tell me it hasn't. If you don't believe it has, we'll send you to one of those countries. I got enough mileage. I'll give you a free one-way ticket. The appearance of them is as, and look, even in, how many heard in Nigeria? Or not Nigeria, in Kenya. 177 people in a Christian college slain, killed. Why? What for? To prove they could do it. That's about it. That happened, what, 2 days ago? Yesterday? The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and of horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they heap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before the face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. Now it's not saying all faces shall be African. You're talking about the blackness of death. How many seen pictures in Sudan? People piled up, butchered like chickens, piled up and just thrown in heaps. Children. Women that are pregnant run through with lances. Listen, when the Holy Ghost leaves the earth, I wouldn't want to be here for 1 second. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his way, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall they shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter into the windows like a thief. Notice it speaks here of stealth technology. Not being wounded. You know, they not only have body armor today where it takes many of the hits for them. But Derek sent me a video. They've got technology now. You can paint it on. It's a body armor that's painted on you. And you could shoot a bullet, and the bullet won't go through it. And then after the bullet comes in and stops, then the indentation comes back together. It's just like there was a movie years ago called Terminator, where the guy was kind of molten metal, and he could, you know, do whatever. That's what the technology is now. I saw the film. It looks just like Terminator. I saw the film of the bullet shooting. The one that Derek sent me. They shall run like many men. They shall climb the wall like men. It says they shall enter into the windows like a thief, like stealth technology. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide in it? You know what abide means? Remain. No one can remain. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting. Now he's not saying it's going to happen then. He's saying now. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn you even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God for his graciousness and mercy, and he's merciful and gracious and slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the trumpet to the bride before it is too late. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Notice, it's the time of the uniting of the bride of Jesus Christ with the bridegroom. In other words, the great assembly, the great convocation is about to begin, the uniting of the bride and groom, the rapture taking place, and now he speaks to Israel. Now he turns again, and he's speaking to Israel. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among them, among the people, where is their God? In other words, his presence is no longer. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Notice, not you now. Not the church, not the Gentile. Then the Lord will be jealous for his land, that's Israel, and for his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. They're going to have a revival in Israel when the two witnesses come. And I will no more make a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far from you the northern army, and will drive him into the land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring forth, the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Now he speaks to the bride again at the end time revival of God, when God sends Elijah the prophet to make ready a prepared people. He said, be glad then, you children of Zion. That's your bride. And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Well, the first month is, we're still in it. The first month of the calendar. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palm worm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. My people, see. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. There's your blood moons. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Now, that ought to let you know that these blood moons and solar eclipses are to let you know the great and terrible day of the Lord is on its way. As they say, it has begun. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, that's his bride, and in Jerusalem, that's his 144,000, shall be delivered, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now Joel chapter 3 deals again with the Jews. Joel 3 and 1. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink. Yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coast of Palestine? Will you render me recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from their border. Before I will raise them out of the place whither you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head, and I will sell your sons, and I will sell your daughters into the land of the children of Judah. In other words, the Wall Street Jewish bankers, and they shall sell them to the Sabians, to the people far off, for the Lord hath spoken. The Gentiles are getting retribution for what they did to the Jews, and God has set up certain Jews to deal harshly with the Gentiles. Look, no one can escape what they were predestined to do here on earth. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war, make up the mighty men, and wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about, thither because thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put you in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens of the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. In other words, all the nations will come against Israel, but God will stand their inner defense. See, this speaks of the gathering together of the nations against Israel, and that coalition is already being gathered together right in the United Nations and has been for several decades. But someone had to come in and get things stirred up in the Middle East, and it looks like the guy is sitting right in our White House who was ordained to get the whole thing stirred up. Because Israel had a friend in Egypt. What was his name? The president for many, many years? Musa. Mubarak. And what do? We stir things up. Libya, they were passive. They had a golden age for their people. They had employment. Everybody had jobs. They wanted them. RCA went in there and started causing dissension, causing problems, causing trouble, and what do we get? All the stuff is coming back on this nation. This nation will get the same thing that it's dished out to all those countries. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no strangers pass through her anymore. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountain shall drop down new wine, and the hill shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with water, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valleys of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. Now the present day conflict between the Arabs and Jews began as a family conflict between Ishmael and Isaac. And then it moved from Esau and Jacob. When Esau became embittered against Jacob, he left for Seir to link up with the Ishmaelites, and Seir became Edom. In fact, Esau is called Edom. But Judah shall dwell forever in Jerusalem from generation to generation, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Again, in the book of Daniel, we see sackcloth and ashes mentioned together. In Daniel 9 and 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication, but with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And again, Isaiah 50 and 3, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. Now back to the sixth seal. The very first attribute or thing that will happen is a great earthquake. The second is the sun will become black as sackcloth of hair. Again, the third will be the moon becoming as blood. The fourth, the stars, the word is asters. The stars of heaven shall fall under the earth. The actual Greek word translated here as star is actually aster, which we get our word asteroid from. So you're going to see a bombardment of asteroids. We went over that last week. The fifth mighty wind would be mighty winds. He said, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely fig when she is shaken of a mighty wind. 6 will be a pole shift, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together. And your clue is right there. It says when it rolled. See, the key here is that it has to be rolled for the heavens to depart. Brother Brown talks about the pole shift. He talks about the equatorial bulge and all that stuff. There's been 7 pole shifts in the Bible. I have them in a study that we put together. And 50-some pages if you want to see it. 7th, it is only fitting that the pole shift takes place before every mountain and every island were moved out of their place. When the pole shift happens, the skin of the earth, which is the mantle, is going to be just like skin. And you've seen like what happened in New Zealand when the earth shook and they had the great earthquakes there. One brother, Brother Bob Kerr, had to move. He had to sell his house because his whole backyard was liquefaction. You could step off the porch and step into and just, you know, not know how far down you could go. The earth was just turned to mold, just mud, liquefaction. When that earth gets to shifting, you're talking about 5-10 miles deep. You've got bunkers maybe a mile or two underground. It's just going to be sealed shut. Isaiah chapter 2 tells us that the Lord they'll have their visitation there. They think that they can hide, like Brother Vail said. You know, I showed him some pictures of these. They're selling off these old missile silos. In fact, I actually thought about bidding on one about 10 years ago before I knew all this, because it was $8,000. It was the bid for 20 acres, a missile silo, and some barracks that would hold about I think 30 personnel. I thought, well, sell it, maybe, you know, resell it. But they're making those things, but they have the two doors, and each one weighs 20 tons. Now that's 40,000 pounds. Now you just have a little old earthquake, which is very, very powerful. Just jerk that thing a little bit. You're not going to open those doors. You think a man's going to get up there and push them open? That's their grave. They're sealing themselves in. We're sealed in too, by the way, with the Holy Ghost. They're going to seal themselves in. Now, 6th seal, okay, the pole shift, the 6th, the heaven depart as a scroll when it is rolled together, and that's your key. 7th, it is only fitting that every mountain and island will be moved out of their place. So it's going to be just like a wave, just in the mountains. Brother Brown, I've got quotes in this study. I've got quotes. Brother Brown said, Florida be no more. He told the brothers in South Carolina, he said, the mountains here will be melted like wax. There's quotes where he talks about that. He talks to the brothers in Tucson, Arizona. The water's going to be up to the hubcaps up there. That's 2,368 feet above sea level. So what about Phoenix, which is called East L.A.? It's going to be about 1,700 feet below sea level. Because Brother Bram talks about a mile high wave coming in. How far it goes in, he said the whole... Well, he said, you know, the Salton Sea and all that is going to be underwater. West Coast is going to be gone. East Coast is going to be gone. Florida is going to be gone. South Coast is going to be gone. Brother Brown told Brother Vail, he said, one of the safest places is going to be Ohio. And that's even what our government is saying. So praise the Lord for raising you up here. Okay, the 8th. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains, that's all the generals, and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Now we cannot say that this is the chronological process. We know these things are going to be. I don't know if they're all going to happen chronologically, because they very well could be, but just let God interpret his word by bringing it to pass. But I believe the elites will hide themselves before too much of this happens. That's why we see it as number 8. It could be actually be first. You know, the wise men, the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, chief captains, you know, the generals, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, all the rich, they'll hide themselves in the dens in the rocks of the mountains. This little map that you see here is Every dot you see on there is a location of a governmental installations that are underground. Cities, basically. Underground cities. The mighty earthquake might send them scurrying for their holes in the ground like a bunch of rats, but they won't be safe there. For in Isaiah chapter 2, it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust, for the fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day." Now, I've got probably half a dozen quotes where Brother Bram talks about the government are setting up cities. He says they're setting up, what's the word he used, like camps or big places, underground. And he said they're digging underground, and they're building these underground huge bunkers, and he said they think that they're going to escape. He said if a nuclear bomb, they're big enough now that if it hit, you'd have a 75-mile crater, deep crater, and something like 150 miles round. He said that you'd be tossed like a pebble in those things. For the day of the Lord of hosts, and remember, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. They're going to shake to death down there. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud. So it's going to be on everyone that's proud. Are you proud? I hope not. Are you lofty? It says, and lofty. And upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of man shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he rises to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each for himself to worship, to the moles. That's those who dig tunnels. In fact, the machine that you see below, when we scroll down, is called the mole. And it's made by our government. And to the bats, those who dwell in caves and taverns, or caverns, taverns probably too. In other words, the rich will pay out their wealth to gain entrance to the tunnels and underground caves and caverns. And that is exactly what the next verse tells us, to go into the clefts of the rock and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he rises to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Again, you see two pictures here. This is a nuclear subterrane. It is used, it can do about a 40-foot diameter hole, some even bigger, up to 60. And what they do is a machine comes up to the mountain, it starts melting with nuclear energy, starts melting the rock. The rock then flows through the back, and it is sprayed up around. So what you end up with is tunnels that look like glass. Anybody knows that a nuclear fusion, when they tested the bombs, it looks like they have glass lakes out in the places where they tested because the glass is fused together. So Brother Bram said, from a certain sound, he said, so there's no security. There's no way to get away from it. You can't dig down. Them bombs will blow 150 feet in the ground for 100 miles square almost, and that's what we know about. What of those that we don't know about? Every nation has its secret things that they're holding back. And just wonder what we do not know about. Then they're talking about all this parading and going into places and finding somewhere a bomb shelter, digging down in the ground, going to move the government under some tunnel. That's a prophecy, and they're already doing it. What good would it do? Well, if one of them bombs would hit and you'd be 1,500 feet below it, it would break every bone in your body, the concussion would. And from Queen of Sheba, and this you can see there's about 30 men standing across there, and we're about 18 inches wide. Average. So you can see this has got to be at least 40 feet in standing in front of that tunnel with that machine. From Queen of Sheba, Brother Bram said, people today trying to dig down into the earth to find a bomb shelter to put the government down in Kentucky somewhere in one of the caves. Well, I'll tell you right now, the church has a shelter. It's not made out of steel. It's made out of feathers. Under his wings, the church will abide and will be lifted up into his glory away from the things of the world. And so we see the preparation of men in this world preparing to hide from the wrath of the Lamb. But what are you? What about you? Are you making ready as a prepared people for the Lord? Are you wanting to come more and more into his presence? We don't want to hide from the wrath of the Lamb. We want to be married to him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, knowing that this is Good Friday. Tonight there will be a blood moon that will come on the 4th in the morning sometime. I don't know what time, but Lord, we know that this is the third. We know that we've already had many signs. Not only have we had these, but this is also the feast of Passover has begun tonight. So, Lord, we ask you to be with us during this Passover, knowing that that's the time when your angel of death went through Egypt and destroyed the firstborn of every male child. And, Father, we just pray that you would help us, Lord, to just be in that number, Lord, that's saved from the wrath of man and from the wrath of God. Father, this being Good Friday was a time when your son agonized in that garden. And finally he came to the conclusion, not my will, but thy will be done. He said, Father, I would that you pass this cup from me, but nevertheless, Lord, I know that you'll raise me up. So, Father, I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go. Help us to have the same mind. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. If we could have the deacons bring the elements at this time. Musicians would come forward. And let me just grab my Bible. If you'd open your Bibles to John chapter 13.